In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We're continuing with March 3rd, 1912. Okay. And so Jesus says, these are the souls who keep repeating, I had not created the heavens for you alone. I would create them. So here Jesus is saying, he's talking about the little children of the Holy Divine Will. This is what he says. These are the souls to whom I, Jesus, keep repeating to you, Louisa, had I not created the heavens, for you alone would I create them. These are all the souls that are linked to Louisa. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He is so happy that he has now, finally, the souls who are learning how and why the kingdom is coming. And he says, these are the souls. He says, if I had never created the heavens, I would have created them for you alone. So think about what God is saying. He is happy that finally, there are souls who reflect the new Adam, Jesus, and the new Eve, Mary. These are the souls who are basically reading the book of heaven. This is how God wants us to live. So he says, in these souls, I lay the heavens of my divine will, and I make of these souls the true images of myself. So through holy baptism, we are in God's image. With this great gift of the divine will, we enter into God's likeness. He says, in these souls, he says, I lay the heavens of my divine will, and I make them my true images of myself. And within these heavens, he calls us, within these heavens, I keep wandering about, amusing myself and playing with these little children of mine. So that's the other thing that you're going to discover in the divine will. God is playing with you. And it's he has so much fun, and we have fun. What happens is something will happen. You go, oh, there's God playing again. You begin to see the humor of God. You begin to experience the love of God as a father with his little child. To these heavens, I repeat, had I not left myself in the Holy Sacrament, for you alone, I would have done it. So what is he saying? These are the souls that are with him in the Blessed Sacrament. If I had never left myself in the Blessed Sacrament, for you alone, I would have done this. Why? Because you're with me. You want to be with me. He says, in fact, these souls, the little children of the Holy Divine Will, are my true hosts. Now, this is what he said to St. Faustina. He says very clearly to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. Okay. What is he doing now? Now he's teaching us how to become a living host. This is the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. A lot of people think we're going to be kneeling in a church exposition, and we're going to be adoring God and loving God and praising God and thanking God and glorifying God and worshiping God. That's what we're doing now. What's coming is to become a living host. So he says, these are my true hosts. Just as I could not live without a will, in the same way, I, God, cannot live without these heavens of my divine will, these little children of my divine will. Rather, they are not only my true hosts, but my Calvary, my very life. So here Jesus is saying to us, I've got everything planned. You're going to be my true host. This is what I planned from the beginning of time. This is going to be the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. He says, but you are going to be my Calvary. Okay. This is why he gives us the hours of the Passion, so we can become more and more like Jesus. How? By recognizing what Jesus has gone through and compassionating him. He says, you have to become my very life, the true image of Jesus, the true image of Mary. These heavens of my divine will are more dear to me and are more privileged than the tabernacles and the very consecrated hosts. Now, don't become riled. He's going to explain this, because in the host, my life ends as the species is consumed. So as you receive the Eucharist in that 15 minutes, the true real presence of Jesus in a mystical way is consumed. It's gone. While in these heavens of my divine will, my life never ends. He says this, and even more, they serve as my hosts on earth and shall be eternal hosts in heaven. So we haven't seen anything yet. So what Jesus is asking, are you willing to so surrender to him that you become a living host? Again, this is the Eucharistic reign of Jesus. You have to understand what Jesus is going to teach us today. Today's an amazing day. What he is going to show us we're going to wake up to, you've got more than I ever thought you were going to do, Lord, in this life. I know heaven is a whole different story, but heaven is coming to earth. May your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. So he says, to these heavens of my divine will, this is what he calls us. I had not incarnated myself in the womb of my mother, for these souls alone, I would have incarnated myself. For these souls alone, I would have suffered my passion, because in these souls, in the divine will, in them, I find the true fruit of my incarnation and my passion. We haven't seen anything yet. And God wants to share with us his divinity. That's what the priest says every day when he puts a drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. Volume 11, 315, 1912. It seems that the souls who do my divine will do nothing while they do everything. Think about it. Louisa would say to Jesus, I'm nobody. I'm nothing. I can do nothing. I'm just in bed. I'm not doing anything. I'm not, like she said, the greatest sin that Louisa committed was wanting to be a nun, not be in bed. I would rather, if I'm outside, I can help people. I can do something. Jesus says, Louisa, he says, you're doing everything. She says, but I'm doing nothing. It's the same thing with us. It seems like we're doing nothing, but in reality, it's everything. This is what Jesus is showing us. He says this. It seems that these souls who do my divine will do nothing while they do everything, because being in my divine will, they act as in a divine manner, as in a hidden manner, and in a surprising way. Just one breath in the divine will is greater than all the miracles of all the saints. Why? All the miracles of all the saints did it in a human, saintly way. When you breathe in the divine will, it's Jesus breathing in you. It's God is doing this. It's not human. It's divine. This is what God gave to Louisa, and this is what God wants to give to us. Do you want to enter into this true life of Jesus, this true life of Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve, which I gave to Louisa? And when we say yes, he says, get out of my way and watch what I'm going to do. That's what St. Louis de Montfort says. In the final days, there'll be the greatest saints in the history of the world, history of the church. And it's nothing that they have done, but what God has done for them. That's what's coming. That's what's begun. He says, this is why I can surely say that they are my true hosts, but living hosts, not dead ones. In fact, the accidents that form the hosts are not full of life, nor do they influence my life. See, there's no will there. It's God has breathed, if you want to say himself, into these hosts through the power of the priesthood, the transubstantiation. But the soul who is full of life by doing my divine will, she influences and concurs with all that I, God, do. It's a cooperation that we have with our Lord in the Holy Eucharist. This is why these hosts consecrated by my divine will, are more dear to me than the very sacramental hosts. And he says this, and if I have reason to exist in the sacramental hosts, it is to form, listen to this, the sacramental hosts of my divine will. That's us. That's what God is doing. He's getting everything ready. Our Lord loves us so much that this is what he's doing. The reason for the sacramental hosts, he says, is to form the sacramental hosts of my divine will. Volume 11, 8:20, 19:13. The one who does my divine will, I say, you are my life. You are my blood. You are my bones. And the true and real sacramental transformation takes place, not by virtue of the words of a priest, but by the virtue of my divine will. So here Jesus is saying, if you're trying to live in the divine will, if you're trying to do the will of God, Jesus breathes on us and says, you are my life. You are my body. You are my bones. The true and real sacramental transformation takes place. This is where we have to begin to understand why our Lord is calling us to be with him in the Blessed Sacrament. He wants us to see what he is going to do. He says, not by the virtue of the words of a priest, but by the virtue of my most holy divine will. So he says, as soon as the soul decides to live in my divine will creates myself in the soul. And as my divine will flows in the human will, in the works, in the steps of the soul undergoes as many of my creations. Okay. So let's think about this. Let's think when God said, fiat lux, let there be light. Everything was created. How many billions and trillions of things were created? So Jesus says, when my divine will creates myself in the soul, okay, this is what he's saying. As he breathes this breath of God into us, okay, that he breathed into Adam. He says, in the works and the steps of the soul undergoes as many of my creations, as much or as little as they want. It happens just as to the pyx, full of consecrated particles. They are as many Jesus's for as many particles. For each one, each particle, it's Jesus Christ. In the same way, by virtue of my divine will, the soul contains myself in her whole being as well as in each particle of her being. One who does my divine will fulfills the true eternal communion and a communion with complete fruit. We haven't seen anything yet. That's why Jesus says, wait to see the power of my Eucharist when the souls begin to live in the divine will. We haven't seen anything yet. So he's telling us what he's going to do with us if we wish. If we get out of the way and let him accomplish what he has planned, this is what he says. If you're doing my divine will, you'll fulfill the true and eternal communion that I wanted from the beginning, a communion with complete fruit. Be fruitful and multiply. This is what's coming. This is what he breathed into Adam. And Adam said no. And we've been in this miserable state ever since. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus died on the cross, gave us the Holy Church, gave us his mother, gave us the sacraments, the sacramentals, gave us our dogma and doctrine. And now, 2,000 years later, Jesus says, now I'm going to give you the completion of what I breathed into my church. Now watch what I'm going to do. Volume 11. 9:25, 19:13. I told the confessor that Jesus has said to me that the will of God is the center of the soul. So here Jesus says to Luisa, the soul is Luisa. Luisa never wanted to say in my soul. She was too humble. She says, I can't do this. I'm a miserable human being. I told the confessor that Jesus said to me that the will of God is the center of the soul. And the confessor was saying, instead, that the most holy sacrament is our center. And that's where we are at this point. Now coming, blessed Jesus told me, my daughter, I had to make in such a way that the sanctity be easy and accessible to everyone, unless they did not want it. In all conditions, in all circumstances, and even in every place, it is true that the most holy sacrament is center. But who instituted it? Who subdued my holy humanity to enclose itself within the small circle of the host? Wasn't that my divine will? Therefore, my divine will shall always have primacy over everything. Besides, if everything is in the Eucharist, the priest who calls me from heaven into their hands, who are in contact with my sacramental flesh, more than anyone should be the holiest, should be the most good. But instead, many of them are the worst. Poor, poor me, Jesus says, how they treat me in the most holy sacrament. And the many devout souls who receive me, perhaps every day, should they not be as many saints if the center of the Eucharist were sufficient? But instead, it is something to be cried over. These souls always remain at the same point, vain, filled with anger, filled with scrupulosity. Poor center of the most holy sacrament. How dishonored it remains. So Jesus is saying, if this is true, why aren't those who go into Holy Communion? Why aren't they living saints? If it's so true, why aren't the priests the holiest? On the other hand, he says, there may be a mother who does my divine will and who, because of her situation, not because she does not want to, but cannot receive me every day. And one sees that she is patient. She is charitable. She carries the fragrance of my Eucharistic virtues within herself. Is it perhaps the sacrament, or rather my divine will to which she is submitted, that keeps her subdued and makes up for the most holy sacrament? Even more, I tell you that the sacraments themselves produce fruits according to how the souls are submitted to my divine will. They produce the effects according to the connection that the soul has with my holy divine will. And if there is no connection with my divine will, they may receive communion, but they shall remain on an empty stomach. They may go to confession, but they shall remain always dirty because they come before my sacramental presence. Before they come before my sacramental presence. But if our wills do not meet, if the human will and the divine will don't meet, he says, I shall be as though dead for them. Because my divine will alone produces all the good. My divine will alone produces and gives life to the very sacraments in the soul who lets herself be subdued by it. And those who do not understand this, it means they are really babies in religion. So here Jesus is saying, if we're not cooperating with the divine will, you can receive communion every day. My spiritual director says, it doesn't matter if you're in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You can pay a communist to be there every day for an hour. They don't believe in anything. It depends on, are we linked with the divine will? This is what Jesus is trying to get across to us. What I have planned, Jesus says, it's going to happen because of this great gift of the divine will. And I'm going to show you how and why this is going to happen. That's why Jesus says, I have given you the book of heaven. I'm going to teach you every day if you wish. Volume 11. there's no day. These hours of the Passion are the most precious of all because they are nothing less than the repetition of what I, Jesus, did in the course of my mortal life. So here he's showing us that to read the hours of the Passion is most precious. Again, to meditate on Christ crucified is necessary. It's his suffering that we have to begin to understand. And then it's no pity me. Why do I have to go through this? Why did he have to go through this? He didn't have to go through this. He wanted to go through this. She wanted him to die on the cross because that's what the Father wanted. She watched her son die. Do we watch the Son of God die? Do we meditate on this? These hours of the Passion are most precious of all, because they are nothing less, he says, than the repetition of what I did in the course of my mortal life and what I continue to do in the Most Holy Sacrament. When I hear these hours of my Passion, when people are reading them, I hear my own voice, my own prayers. This is essential. Now, somebody said to me, do we have to pray it out loud? If you're alone, pray it out loud. Why? The word is important. The word spoken is important. That's why Jesus says, when people talk and talk and talk and talk about nothing, it means there's nothing up here. There's nothing in here. If you're speaking the hours of the Passion, you're talking about the most precious thing that can be spoken. The priests that I knew when I was ordained, they would always, when they read their breviary, they would always be whispering. They'd be in their corner, wherever they were praying, and they were whispering. Why? The word had to be spoken. That's one of the things that's been forgotten today. There's a lot of noise out there. You know, there's a lot of things being said. But Jesus says, when he hears the divine will, he says his life is becoming alive again. When that word is spoken. See, it's better to speak in silence, you know, in your corner, whispering. I mean, don't whisper to the one person in our prayer group would whisper. And every time she would say an S, it was ear piercing. It was like, and I had to say to her, you know, you gotta not use that S anymore. It's very loud. So it's when you're alone, pray it out loud. When you're not alone, you know, be silent so you don't disturb others. So Jesus says, when I continue to hear these hours of the Passion, he says, I hear my own voice. I hear my own prayers. In that soul, I see my divine will. That is wanting the good of all and repairing for all. And I, God, feel drawn to dwell in that soul, to be able to do what she herself does within herself. So again, saying that this is why it's important. To when you read, it's to read out loud, especially if you're alone, you know, to read out loud, not to disturb any. If you're in church, don't go, well, Father said to read out loud and I'm reading. No, no. If nobody else is there, if you make sure nobody else is there, you can read out loud, but make sure nobody's there. It's not to shine a light on you. It's to, Jesus says, when I hear these hours of the Passion, when I hear the Book of Heaven being read, I hear my own voice. I hear my own prayer. This next part, volume 11, 12, 17, 19, 14, this is a very key understanding of the Eucharist. It's very important that you hear what Jesus is saying. I know some people have read this and they went off the deep end. So this is what she says, my daughter, this is volume 11, 12, 17, 19, 14. You can form the hosts and consecrate them. People have said to me, well, we don't need priests anymore. We can do the Eucharist ourselves. Why? Jesus said to Louisa, you can do this. We can do this. You have to listen to what Jesus says. In this conversation, he's been talking to Louisa. Now, the last one we read was 1914, 2 months before, it looks like. No, it does. I don't know the month before. Here, Jesus has been telling Louisa, and he's got to this point where now he says, now put this down on paper. You two can form the hosts. You can consecrate them. This is not because this is not the host on the altar, just so that you understand this. So he says this, do you see the garment that covers me in the sacrament, these are the accidents of the bread, which with the host is formed. The life that exists in this host is my body, my blood, my soul, my divinity. And an attitude that contains this life is my supreme will. And this carries out the love, the reparation, the immolation, and all the rest that I, Jesus, do in the sacrament that never moves one point from my volition. So it's always one with God. There is nothing that comes for me that is not by my volition. Now, he says, here is how you too can form the host. So now this is important to understand because Jesus is saying this to us. The host is the material and totally human. Okay. That's that we're the material. We are human. Okay. You too have a material body and a human will. This body and this human will of yours, if you keep them pure, upright, and far away from any shadow of sin, become the accidents, are the accidents, the bread and the flour and the water, the veils, so that I, God, may be able to consecrate myself and live hidden within you. So here's the truth now. Jesus says, if you are in the state of grace, if you're pure and upright and far away from any shadow of sin, any shadow of sin, all of us go to confession each week. We're still in the shadow of sin. Okay. There are souls who at the point of death, are the sin. They can't sin anymore. They're ready to enter into heaven. These accidents, these veils, he says, are there. And he says, so that I, God, will be able to consecrate myself and live hidden within you. But this is not enough. It would be like host without a consecration. My life is needed. My life, Jesus says, is composed of divine sanctity, divine love, divine wisdom, divine power. But the engine of all that is my divine will, he says, therefore, you must, after you have, number one, prepared the host. Okay. Number two, you must make your human will die in the host. You can't, your human will can't have life. Number three, you must cook the human will well, that it may not be born again. No more life to your human will. What does that mean? What Our Lady teaches Louisa in the six steps in the Virgin Mary in the Kingdom is how to get rid of your human will, how to surrender your human will, that it never have life with you and again, with you again. So this is what Jesus is teaching Louisa. You got to prepare yourself by being in the state of grace. You must make your human will die in this host. Okay. It's not alive in me anymore. I don't want, I surrendered my human will to the throne of God. I got to cook it well. Okay. So this is the suffering that you're going to go through. This is what God is testing us every day with. Are you going to be worried about this? Are you going to be anxious about that? Is your human will alive? Are you worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative? Are you sinning? Is your human will alive? You're not cooking it enough. You haven't died to yourself. That fire, that purging of all that is human must happen in us. That cooking it well. No more worry, no more fear, no more anxiety, no more complaints, no more negativity, no more sin. He says, it's got to be cooked. Number four, then you must let my divine will permeate all of your being. That my divine will that contains the whole of my life will be formed in you. It's got to be Jesus. How do you become like Jesus? By being with him. By being with him. Receiving Holy Communion, spiritual communion. By spending time in front of the Blessed Sacrament. You got to learn from him. He's the teacher. He's our king. He's our God. He's our master. If you're not with our Eucharistic Lord, have fun thinking that you're one with God, But no, you got to spend time with him. Spend time with him. Permeating your whole being. He says, my divine will contains the whole of my life. That's why he says, I want you to learn how and why the kingdom is coming with the book of heaven. Number five, to form the true and perfect consecration. Who's doing it? Jesus. He says, you can consecrate. How? Get out of my way. Do these five things and watch what I am going to do. It's not that you put your hands over the host and say, this is my body. Jesus does that over us. He says this, true and perfect consecration is going to happen. So the human thought will have life no more, but only the thought of my holy divine will. This consecration, Jesus says, shall create my divine wisdom in your mind, seeing things from a divine perspective. Our memory becomes of the divine will of Jesus and Mary. Nothing more, nothing less. Jesus and Mary. He says, no more life for what is human. My wisdom is there. Your weakness, your inconstancy, because my divine will shall form the consecration of the divine life, of fortitude, of firmness, of all that I am. So he says, no more life that is human. Okay, so like we've said before, God is expecting us to be joy-filled, peaceful, and happy, nothing less than that. When we begin to live this life, nothing bothers us. Look at all the panic of all the people that you're around. Worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, negative. Oh, this is what's going to happen now. What's going to happen next year? But I mean, come on. Was that Jesus at all? Was that the Blessed Mother at all? She treasured all these things in her heart. Jesus has great plans. And we want him to be alive in us. That's what he says. He says, I want nothing more that's human. Your weakness, your inconstancy, because the divine will forms the consecration of divine life, divine fortitude, divine firmness, and all that I am. So each time you make your human will, your desires and all that you are, all that you may do flow into my divine will, I, God, shall renew the consecration. I, God, shall continue my life within you as in a living host, not a dead one, like the hosts without me. So he says, who does this consecration? It's not us. It's Jesus when we get out of the way. He says, but this is not all. In the consecrated hosts, in the pyxes, in the tabernacles, everything is dead. Everything is mute. There is not one heartbeat sensible, not a surge of love that may correspond to so much love of mine. If it wasn't for the fact that I wait, listen to this. Listen to what Jesus says. I wait for the hearts in order to give myself to them. The churches are empty. I wait for the hearts in order to give them myself to them. I would be quite unhappy. I would remain defrauded in my love, and my sacramental life would remain without purpose. And if I tolerate this in the tabernacle, I would not tolerate it in my living hosts. He's not going to wait for us. We're going to be with him. That's what the divine will is. So life is needs nourishment. And in the sacrament, I want to be nourished. I want to be nourished with my own food. That is, the soul shall make my divine will, my love, my prayers, my reparations, my sacrifices, her own. And then she shall give them back to me as if they were her own things. And I shall nourish myself with what? My divine will is God's love, prayers, reparations, sacrifices given to him. The divine will is focused on Jesus, not 1,000 miles away. but Jesus within. I want to nourish myself with me, Jesus says. So the soul shall unite with me and shall prick up her ears to hear what I am doing so as to do it together with me. When we're with Jesus, the Blessed Sacrament, he's speaking to us. He is the Word. He's speaking to us. And he's telling us what to do together with him. And like I've said before, you're going to hear things different than me. I'm going to hear different things than you. Why? By the way we have been formed. So he says, the way I have created you, with your different irises, different voices, different sizes, different shapes, different fingerprints, he says, I'm going to speak to you. So we can do what I have planned for you together with me. And as the soul keeps repeating my own acts, the soul shall give me her food, and I, God, shall be happy. Only in these living hosts, as he said to St. Faustina, you must become a living host. Only these living hosts shall I find the compensation for the loneliness and the starvation and all that I suffered in all the tabernacles for these last 2,000 years. You see what God is doing this? He's tired of being alone. We have been baptized. We're in God's image. But the likeness is not there yet. And now he says, now through Louisa, what I've given to Louisa, the true life of Jesus, the true life of Mary can be given to us. He says, I want to find compensation for the loneliness and the starvation and all that I've suffered in the tabernacle for these past 2,000 years. So when you read Jesus say, you can consecrate, don't do the wrong way. It's how do we consecrate? By putting ourselves in order so that God can do it. If we're not in order, God can't do it. And that's why this paragraph is so essential to read it in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Tell Jesus, I want to become a living host. Volume 11, 11, 13, 19, 15. My daughter, if you want to please me, offer it as my own, as my own humanity did. So, okay, we want to please Jesus. Offer this life. Offer it as my own humanity did. Before giving communion to others, I gave communion to myself. And I wanted to do this in order to give to the Father the complete glory of all of the communions of creatures and to enclose within me all the reparations for all the sacrileges, all the offenses that my humanity would receive in the sacrament. So Jesus is saying, I want you to do what I did. I want you to repeat what I did. So he says this, since my holy humanity enclosed the divine will, it enclosed all the reparations of all times. And since I, Jesus, received myself, I received myself worthily. And since all the works of creatures were divinized by my humanity, with my holy communion that I received, I wanted to seal, to stamp, to acclaim all the communions of mankind. Otherwise, how could this creature receive a God? It was my holy humanity that opened this door to humanity and earned for them that they might receive me. Now he says, now you, Louisa, and he's talking to us as well, do it in my divine will. Okay, what do? Unite your communion to my holy humanity. As you receive your holy communion, unite it to Jesus' holy communion. In this way, you shall enclose everything, and I, God, shall find in you the reparations of all of humanity, the compensation for everything, and my satisfaction that I did. Even more, I shall find in you another me. Image and likeness. He's teaching us how to do this when we receive Holy Communion. When we receive Holy Communion, you receive in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, so that everything that Jesus has done, the compensation for everything, the satisfaction for everything, will be given to God through me. So Jesus sees what? A reflection of himself in us. So he's teaching us how to receive communion. It's just not for you. It's for all of humanity. As Jesus received Holy Communion, I want to receive Holy Communion. I want to become a reflection of Jesus so that Jesus can give to the Father all the compensation for everyone and everything. Jesus can give back to the Father all the satisfaction that the Father deserves in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, because of what Jesus has done. I shall find in you another me. Volume 11, 9/8/1916. I'd like very much to see souls who repeat in my divine will what my humanity did in the divine will. I receive communion. I receive myself in the will of the Father. And with this, I not only repaired everything, but finding immensity in my all-seeingness of everything and everyone in the divine will, I embraced all of humanity. And I gave communion to all of humanity. And in seeing that many would not take part in the sacrament, and that the Father was offended for what they did not want to receive my life, I gave back to the Father the satisfaction and the glory as if all mankind had received Holy Communion, giving to the Father the satisfaction and the glory of a divine life for each person. And he says, you too. Saying this to us, from now on, when you receive Holy Communion in my divine will, repeat what I, Jesus, did. And in this way, you shall not only repair everything, but you shall give to me, to all, as I intended to give myself to all, and shall give me the glory as if all had received Holy Communion. Jesus wanted every human to go to Holy Communion. Why? To become like God. To become like him, image and likeness. And so as we receive Holy Communion for that 15 minutes, we bring everyone, not just our family, not just our friends, our neighbors, but everyone. I bring everyone to the throne of God, to adore God, love God, praise God, thank God, glorify God, worship God. Jesus in me giving to the Father what Jesus gave to the Father. You see why Holy Communion, we haven't seen anything yet. When the souls begin to live this, everything's going to become alive. Everything. It's what Jesus wanted for all of humanity. And there will be some that don't want this. But it will be as if they wanted it. And what Jesus tells Louisa, God the Father hears everyone, everyone, past, present, and future. Praying to God, I love you, I adore you, I praise you, I thank you, I bless you, I worship you with our voice. All of humanity. This is an explosion of I love yous that are going to the throne of God. This is our job. Holy Communion. Once you begin to understand this, you want to stay for that 15 minutes after Holy Mass to adore God and love God and praise God and thank God and glorify God and worship God in the name of everyone and everything, past, present, and future, one with the new Adam, one with the new Eve, one with the newborn. To begin to live this explosion of I love yous to the throne of God. All these I love yous that are going to the throne of God are doing what? They're going to bring heaven on earth. What does that mean? When heaven comes to earth, the evil one who's been banished from heaven will be banished from earth. Why do you think Our Lady of Revelation said to Bruno, time has now come to an end? She knew this is what's going to happen because of Louisa. Everything's come to an end. She said to Father Gobi, everything's completed. 1997, she said that. Everything's completed. What happened in 1996? The Book of Heaven was released. It went through all the world. And we are the fortunate ones to read this. This is a new era that's begun. A new and divine way of holiness, as Pope St. John Paul II said, a new and divine way of holiness. It's here. And our God is asking us, are you willing to begin to live this life? And he says, if you are, I'll give you the book of heaven. I'll teach you how and why this is going to happen. This is what we're learning. What Jesus said to St. Faustina, you must become a living host, is now happening. Jesus is showing us how this is going to happen. Great things are right around the corner. God has got plans, and we're in them. Great things are going to happen. Don't be afraid. What's coming is glorious. The evil one wants you to be thinking of all the other stuff so that you're not focused on what God is calling us to do, is to live in his divine will. So we'll end here. We'll be back in an hour and a half in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. An hour and 15 minutes. Amen. Sorry.